You know, I can't say that I really understand just what happened and why. Recently, Congress repealed the so-called net neutrality rules. You know, I have a very limited idea of what it all means to us consumers, so I've asked Rachel Sandler, tech editorial intern for Business Insider, to take us through it in layman's terms so we can understand it. Hey, Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. I'm glad to be here.
Rachel, what is a definition for these new net neutrality rules that are now dead, let's say? What does it mean to us?
Right. So net neutrality is the basic policy principle that states that ISPs, or internet service providers, so we're talking about AT&T, Verizon, okay, Comcast, etc. Net neutrality basically says that they have to treat all internet traffic equally.
Okay.
So that means that they can't slow down or block particular websites. Mm-hmm. And ISPs, you know, before these rules were put into place, you know, ISPs were sometimes using it to gain a competitive advantage in the marketplace. So you saw before Obama-era net neutrality rules were put into place in 2015 that Comcast, for example, was blocking peer-to-peer traffic. That means that Comcast was blocking traffic where people were downloading things directly from their peers instead of from a particular website. And AT&T was also looking to block Skype and FaceTime. So these are things that under the Obama-era net neutrality rules, ISPs couldn't do. And now, with the FCC basically rolling back those protections, ISPs can, you know, do those things, and they have free rein without FCC oversight to block or slow down or to throttle traffic.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I do understand that now. That's very well explained. Basically, we have the pipe, which is controlled by or produced by Comcast, AT&T, and it's the bandwidth, and so much can go through that pipe. Upon that pipe, so to speak, you put applications like Netflix and Facebook and Skype. And now you're saying that these providers, these ISPs, now can, if they wanted to, give access to some of these apps, slow down traffic or slow down the speeds to other of them. They can kind of play unfairly if they wanted to in this era of ever expanding streaming and other apps that they're using.
Right, exactly. And the fear here is that ISPs will create so-called fast lanes and slow lanes. So they'll slow down traffic to certain applications, and then they'll say, hey, Netflix, if you want to reach customers faster, you have to pay us.
Yeah.
And that's really concerning for smaller businesses because, you know, if you're a smaller streaming service, you know, you can't, you know, compete with a site like Netflix if they're paying AT&T to have faster speeds. So this is really concerning for startups and small business owners who, you know, are fearful that they won't be able to afford, you know, a situation where an ISP creates fast lanes and slow lanes.
Yeah, I understand that. Now, the game is being watched by all, and many watchers are keeping a close eye on the activities of these ISPs now that the rules have changed. So I don't think they're going to do anything right away. Would you agree with that?
Right. You know, this is an extremely divisive issue, and net neutrality is really, really popular among the American public. Mm-hmm. So, you know, right now it would be completely detrimental if an ISP decided to take immediate action and started blocking or slowing down websites. And for their part, the ISPs have said that they're not going to do this. But, you know, for net neutrality activists, it's hard to trust ISPs who say that they're not going to do this, yet at the same time are fighting tooth and nail to get these rules lifted.
So the FCC overturned these Obama-era rules. Why do you think they did that? I mean, they have to have made their pitch to the American public of the positive aspects of doing this. What was that pitch?
Right. So Ajit Pai, who is the chairman of the FCC, has said that these regulations are burdensome and they really restrict ISPs from investing in infrastructure and trying out new business models. So what ISPs really want to do is they really want to experiment with paid prioritization, which is another way of saying fast lanes and slow lanes, and what are called zero rating programs. So these are services kind of like what T-Mobile has, where you can watch or stream content without it having count against your monthly data plan. Yeah. So that's technically on the verge of maybe violating net neutrality. And ISPs really, really want to experiment with this. Mm-hmm. And those so-called zero rating programs weren't actually completely banned under the Obama era rules. They were reviewed on a case-by-case basis to see if they were discriminatory. And so with the new FCC rules, the FCC has no oversight over zero rating programs at all. So it's stuff like this that the FCC kind of touts as a positive aspect for this.
You know, I can relate to this, Rachel, because I share my data with my son. He's on my phone program with Verizon. And so every month I had to watch the data downloads between the two of us to make sure I didn't pass a certain threshold. Otherwise, we would be both paying more. Then Verizon came in and they said, okay, you've got an unlimited data plan. You can pay us a little bit more and get an unlimited data plan. And I really like that. Does that pertain to this or is that a completely different topic?
Right. So unlimited data plans isn't really at play here because when you have an unlimited data plan, they're not privileging particular websites or particular services. Even if you have a monthly data cap and you go over that data cap and they start to slow down or they start to, you know, cut your access off, they're cutting your access off completely. They're not privileging certain websites over other websites. And that's the issue here.
Okay. So it's not really there's no direct correlation between what I just mentioned and net neutrality. So, you know, as a kind of a dumb consumer, is this going to affect the speeds or the quality of Netflix or Amazon Prime Video or any of those? Are they going to improve? Do you think they're going to slow down? Are these ISPs going to give, let's say they decide to start charging more for faster access, for faster streaming, and one of these services decides not to pay it, are they going to slow that down? What do you think is going to happen there?
Right. So that very may well could happen. I don't think it'll happen, you know, in the immediate future because everyone is watching what these ISPs are doing. And a condition under the new FCC rules is that at the very least, ISPs have to be transparent. So they have to add to their terms and conditions that they can slow down or block websites whenever they want. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, not a lot of people read the terms and conditions.
Guilty.
Exactly. So I'm skeptical if, you know, people will really be paying attention to, you know, the fine print that is on the terms and conditions for these ISPs.
How will it affect social media apps like Facebook and Instagram and those types?
Again, I don't think this will have much of an impact right now or even in the next few years. You know, everyone is really watching these ISPs closely. And if they do anything that might violate net neutrality, you know, they are going to have to deal with severe public backlash here.
Yeah.
So I don't think that in the immediate future, anything will change about how people use social media apps or the internet.
I think they're counting on the eventuality that our attentions will go elsewhere in the future and they'll be able to slip in some of these changes without us really paying attention. And even though there may be areas of the country that are going to be very unhappy and very vocal, the rest of us will say, hey, as long as it doesn't affect me, I don't really care. Here, this is interesting to me. What do autonomous cars, robotic surgeries, or public safety communications have to do with this net neutrality bandwidth issue?
So this is actually a really interesting argument that AT&T has been making. So back in February, AT&T basically said that we're not going to create fast lanes and slow lanes. We're not going to do that at all. However, we do want to privilege traffic that is running robotic surgeries and self-driving cars and public safety traffic and traffic that really will spur innovation. And that kind of goes to show another argument that AT&T is making is that these regulations are burdensome.
Yeah.
And, you know, with regulations lifted, more innovation can happen.
Do you buy that? Or, I mean, it sounds like a positive to me because they are making the case for public safety and putting the interests of the public first, creating innovation there. I had not heard that net neutrality was an obstacle against that, but it seems to me you're saying that that is a net positive. Do you buy their argument?
So it's interesting because ISPs can already do this. There's already infrastructure in place that allows ISPs to privilege public safety traffic and traffic that, you know, will have an impact on life and death. But the idea that, you know, self-driving cars are running solely on AT&T, you know, connections or broadband is just not true. Mm. And so, you know, I think this argument is a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah. A little bit of a political angling, like a PR move almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Well, here's a quote. The end of the 2015 net neutrality rules and the legal authority on which they are based will allow companies like Comcast, AT&T, and Verizon to take control of consumers' internet experience and favor or disfavor websites, programming services, and applications at will. That's a pretty strong statement against the repeal of net neutrality. Is that an overstatement as well? Is that PR for the other team?
Right. So under the new rules, you know, ISPs can do that. I think it's a fair question as to whether that will actually happen. And ISPs have repeatedly said in public statements that they're not going to do this. However, as I mentioned earlier, they really want to experiment with zero rating programs and paid prioritization or fast lanes and slow lanes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they say that they're not going to do this, but at the same time, they have been fighting tooth and nail to get these regulations lifted.
Yeah.
So I can see how net neutrality activists wouldn't necessarily trust what the big ISPs have to say about this.
Well, I just hope that the SEC does continue to watch them and at least act in our best interest when they do see some monopolistic or some changes that the repeal brings about unintended consequences. Let's put it that way. Here, I have another question for you. There's something called a zero rating program, and I don't understand how that works. What is that?
Right. So a zero rating program basically means that a consumer can stream content and not have it count against his or her data plans. Yeah. So like when T-Mobile says, oh, you can watch unlimited Netflix and it won't count against your monthly data cap, that is a zero rating program. Mm-hmm. And ISPs really, really want to continue experimenting with this.
I'm sure they do. My guest is Rachel Sandler. She is tech editorial intern for Business Insider. Rachel, I realize you're an intern, but you don't sound like an intern to me. You're doing great. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for spending your time with us. All right. So this is a done deal. The repeal has been completed. There's a lot of people up in arms against it. And this is a federal oversight issue. What about the states? Can they get involved? Are they getting involved in this?
Right. So a few states have already made moves to institute net neutrality rules within their own borders. So Washington State and Oregon have already passed laws that ensure net neutrality within their borders. However, that only applies to ISPs operating in those states. So if you live in Washington and Oregon, you are technically, you know, using the internet that is net neutral. However, when the FCC repealed those Obama-era rules, there was a condition that said that states cannot make their own rules. So this is being, you know, challenged in the courts, and, you know, we'll probably get a decision in a few years because it takes a lot of time to litigate these things.
Right.
But, you know, it's, again, it's a issue of, you know, federal regulation versus state regulation and power. So, you know, this is an issue that, you know, we're going to see play out in the courts.
All right. Rachel Sandler, tech editorial intern for Business Insider, explaining net neutrality rules. And, you know, I value education. I want to make sure my listeners get what they need and what they want. So come to our website, stevepomerantz.com, to hear this interview again and to hear all of the other interviews that we do. We have an archive section. We have a search section if any topic in particular interests you. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve.
And don't forget to go to stevepomerantz.com.